Welcome to Healthcare and Hire, a podcast for healthcare professionals and aspiring healthcare executives looking for information, association, and inspiration from higher-level leaders across the healthcare industry. I'm Iqbal Acha, career consultant, healthcare recruiter, and registered pharmacist. Every week, I sit down to interview healthcare executives, clinical leaders, medical entrepreneurs, and industry experts to learn how they got to where they are today, what they see as the future of healthcare, and what they're doing to make healthcare more accessible, affordable, and effective. Let's find out more about today's guest. Enza Giannini is the Senior Director of Clinical Talent Acquisition at North Shore University Health System. She leads a strong performing team of healthcare recruiters and works to meet the hiring needs across one of Chicagoland's largest magnet recognized organizations. Enza has served in her current role and as the Director of Nurse Recruitment at North Shore University Health System for the past 19 years. Prior to this, she worked as a staff nurse at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Enza earned her master's degree in nursing from the University of Illinois at Chicago. She's a natural collaborator and relationship cultivator who leverages market intelligence, analytics, and business acumen to execute complex deliverables. Hello, Enza. Welcome to the Healthcare and Hire podcast.
Hello, Iqbal. How are you today?
I am wonderful. How about you?
Perfect.
The day of this recording is Friday, so are you excited for the weekend?
You actually stole my word. I was just going to say very excited to be here, but more excited that tomorrow is Saturday.
At least tell me it's neck and neck, like it's a 50-50 excitement.
I'll give you that. Absolutely.
Fair enough. I love that. And so we've known each other for a little while now, and I'm very excited that you're on my show. I know many of my listeners are probably meeting you for the first time. So why don't we take this opportunity and have you formally introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are, what your role is, and how do you help take healthcare to a higher level?
Absolutely. My name is Enza Giannini. Actually, my full name is Vincenza, but I do go by Enza for short. And I am the Senior Director of Clinical Talent Acquisition for North Shore University Health System. The way I personally help healthcare get to a higher level is that myself and my entire team, we are responsible for hiring not only all the clinical folks, but also the providers to essentially execute our mission, which is to preserve and improve human life for the communities that we serve and beyond.
I find that coming from that world like you, most of my listeners are unfamiliar with the entrance to the building versus all the exits that most people experience, right? Like when you work for any other department within a health system, a hospital, or a healthcare organization, you can leave the organization due to poor leadership or perhaps, you know, due to circumstances that may be beyond control. But the only way to get in is through the touch of a recruiter, talent acquisition professional. I'm very excited to chat with you more about that. For those listeners that are unfamiliar with North Shore University Health Systems or maybe are not from Illinois, let me give you a little bit of context as to why I've asked Enza to be on the show and a little bit more about the great things that North Shore University Health System and her organization does. Number one, it is ranked as a top 15 teaching hospital, and it's also affiliated with the University of Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine. It consists of six hospitals, as well as a multi-specialty group practice that encompasses 900 physicians across 140 locations. So Enza, you and your team are responsible for making sure that all of those locations, plus the six hospitals, have the right staff members in the right positions and doing the best job that they can. I know that recently, North Shore University Health Systems announced its merger with Edwards Elmhurst Health. So now you're going to go from six hospitals to a total of 15. And that will mean 25,000 employees with 6,000 physicians at the ready. Big moves and big vision. But I think the other piece that I think is very remarkable about your organization is the number of awards that it has won over the course of time. And I'm just looking at last year, right? You guys won 9 awards, including being recognized as one of LinkedIn's top 25 companies to work for. You've earned 5 stars from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And you've also been named a Fortune IBM Watson Health's top 100 hospitals, not one. Not twice, not even 10 times, but 22 times in a row. That speaks volumes to the quality of your personnel, to the mission and to the vision of the organization. And of course, how patients react and how patients and just in general, how individuals who have any touch with your system and from your healthcare perspective really value what you do. And so, Enza, it's an honor to have you on the show. Very excited to learn a little bit more about, you know, how you and your team are making a difference in the world. So let's kind of delve into that a little bit. It would be fantastic to know a little bit more about some of your day-to-day responsibilities as a senior director, but also the type of leadership that you are providing for your team. Your team is responsible for finding the right people, right? Healthcare professionals, as well as executives, I'm sure IT professionals, environmental services, like the entire gamut of the organization and the need, the criticality of what your team does rests on your shoulders. So I'd love to hear a little bit about maybe a recent success that you and your team have been responsible for, or maybe something that you'd like to share with us that you're focused on now that you and your team have decided it's a priority. And tell us what you're doing in that space and why it's so important.
Sure, of course. Obviously, no surprise to anybody, post-pandemic, the staffing crunch has affected all industries, in particular healthcare. You know, we saw many people leave the industry, burnout, traveling assignments, career changes, et cetera. So I would say post-pandemic, the biggest thing that we're working on is nursing, clinical staff, et cetera. And I will say I'm incredibly fortunate to work with a group of leaders that are very in touch with the staff. It is not uncommon that you will see the presidents of our entities rounding, asking people what they can do for them, what do they like, what do they need, et cetera. So obviously, probably the number one question that is asked is, what can we do for you? And their answer is more staff. So we've taken that very seriously. There's a few programs that I'm incredibly proud of. And so the first one I'm going to talk about is a program called the Travel No Travel Program. This really originated from the vastness of travel nursing. And we thought to ourselves, hey, why don't we create our own? You know, there's many people that want to take the leap in travel nursing, but are skittish or afraid for various reasons. So essentially, we marketed the program as, you don't need to leave your home, you don't need to leave your communities. You can come to North Shore. We are large enough where you can travel within our North Shore entities, and we're gonna pay you at a premium, and we're gonna go ahead and do contracts like you would at a traditional traveling assignment. So to date, we've had great success with that program where people are dipping their toe in the water, but doing it locally, and they're getting to experience all different types of units. So for example, you know, if I've only worked med-surg for the majority of my career, I could do a travel assignment in essentially the GI lab, the EP lab, kind of really see what I like. And it was our ability to really grab those people that were doing traveling, but were also ready to come home for various reasons. So it's been wildly successful, and we hopefully continue that as we get into the holiday season as well.
I like that. You know, it's a unique opportunity for somebody to experience different parts of, you know, the northern part of Illinois. And it also satisfies a little bit of that craving for curiosity, right? You do ultimately become very accustomed and acclimated to the environment that you see day in and day out. And so having that opportunity for not only individuals to travel within a system of safety, of familiar culture, but then more importantly, to be able to experience a variety of different patients and different communities, and then working within systems that are already part of their expertise, I think it's a great opportunity. And certainly, of course, with the financial incentive that comes with that, there's also more stability with that as well. Enza, you know, what I see and hear a lot across a lot of different associations that are nursing based, as well as other healthcare organizations, is not just, you know, it's not just what we're seeing post pandemic, but even before the pandemic. I mean, there's been a massive outcry of nursing shortages, right? There's not enough schools. I think I just recently read a report maybe about a year ago that stated, and this was a year ago, that there's going to be a million nurses that are set to retire in the next like 5 or 7 years. And the backlog and the delta between the replacements and the students that are there, it's far falling short. And from a talent acquisition perspective, like you and your team have to find new creative ways to not just find the nurses that are there, but possibly even like find an earlier source for a pipeline to be created and help encourage them. Is that something that your team does? Do you potentially like find, I don't know, high school students, grammar school, elementary school students, or even undetermined students to talk to them about what a career in nursing might look like and how how North Shore University can help in that process?
So actually, we have an amazing program that essentially addresses all the facets you just presented. It's actually called the Staff Support Tech Role. We call it SST for short. And we created this program at the end of 2020, December 2020, because what we found is that there were not enough licensed people to care for our patients. We needed others to come in and essentially do the miscellaneous, right? Make the beds, fluff the pillows, provide water, you know, be a runner per se, go grab blood from the blood bank, things of that nature. So essentially we marketed it as a career exploration job for those that were always intrigued by healthcare, but weren't sure what area to pursue in healthcare. So with the staff support tech, this year alone, we've hired 110 of them, all different facets, students, high school seniors, people that were completely fed up with corporate America and wanted to do something different with their lives, retirees that were not 100% ready to be 100% retired. Mm-hmm. A lot of diversity in that field. And within that field, we placed them in all areas of the hospital setting. So we had them in our acute care arenas. We had them in the pharmacy. We had them in the lab. We had them in ambulatory. When we were doing drive-through testing, we put them over there as well. So they really got a nice glimpse into the world of healthcare. And I have to say, we did stories on them, the testimonials that they provided. Many of these people said this particular job, and granted it's an entry-level job, was life-changing. I mean, in my opinion, that is incredibly profound, because I am here today because when I was a senior in high school, I went to a career event. I had no idea about the plethora of activities and opportunities in healthcare. And in front of me stood a young lady talking about nursing as a career. And I thought, through her stories, I immediately applied to nursing school and voila, I'm here. So you're absolutely right, Iqbal, that it is, I feel, our duty to educate the next generation, because with the numbers that you just shared, how are we ever going to get ahead of that curve? So I'm really happy to say that we have a CNO that's incredibly open-minded. There were a handful of SSTs, staff support techs, that really showed an inclination for furthering their education. We actually created a scholarship program for them to pursue their certified nursing assistant certification. So we have that program in place. And to date, we had about 10 of them that pursued that. And from there, our hope is that they start getting their associate's degree, their bachelor's degree, and really the sky is the limit for this group of employees.
And so that's really remarkable. I mean, I think when I hear you talk about all of these different facets of how your organization is trying to invest in its people, right? And giving them multiple avenues to choose from, right? It's not like, oh, you just show up here in this one category, whether it's environmental services or, you know, patient care tech or pharmacy. And then like, this is it. This is as far as you can go. Like, you guys are literally peeling back curtains, opening doors. Like, have you ever thought about this? Here's an incentive for you to consider that. And I think that that's good because, you know, in the world that we live in today, there's so much, there's such a desire for, you know, new experiences and new opportunities, but there is a bridge that is usually it's usually like not well, the gap that exists between where they are and where they want to be is not very well defined. And I think that that's really nice to hear from that perspective, which, you know, it's a change from where, you know, we were 15, 20 years ago to where we are now, which actually helps me bring up another point. Like, you know, you mentioned your origin story, right? You were unsure of where you wanted to go. You went to a career fair and there's this individual that's talking about nursing and how amazing that is. And you were like, that's my future. I'm going to do this, right? And now you and your team are going out to other career fairs, you know, and sharing the good things that North Shore University Health System does to attract nurses, other healthcare licensed professionals to come to your organization. I think one of the questions that I usually have to ask is, you know, as a licensed professional myself, right? Like, we had to choose at some point to leave a world where we were the provider. We were able to facilitate a connection between a patient's problems that were presented to us, writing down their chief complaints, gathering their symptoms, looking at all of that, right? And saying, okay, well, based on most recent guidelines, here's the protocols and here's what we're going to go with, right? We chose to walk away from that world and move into something like, for you and I, talent acquisitions, for others, legal, and for others, you know, just a variety of management and operations, right? But for us, you know, I think we straddled this line, like, unlike others. I think other clinicians that have moved into a different space have sort of like walked away from the ability to stay relevant on their clinical acumen. Because when we go and we talk to clinicians and we talk to healthcare professionals and we talk to other people, we need to make sure that we understand the language and the protocols that are there today. I guess my question for you is, Enza, like, you know, first and foremost, now that you've moved into a role where you are leading a large team for the third largest healthcare system in Illinois, you know, you have a lot of opportunities to take your experiences and your knowledge and move into different realms. And yet you are still happy working in healthcare. And I'd like to understand, like, what's your why in that space, right? Like, you could move into banking or, you know, manufacturing or IT because you have the ability to engage and influence people, which is a very critical skill, but you still stay in healthcare. And I'd like to know what it is about this industry that keeps you rooted here.
I actually get asked that question often, because when people realize that I was a clinician and moved into this space and I've been here for 19 years, how did you make the transition? So I'll start from the beginning. You know, I had worked at a large academic medical center as my first job as a nurse, very happy taking care of patients, traditional role. At the 5-year mark, I decided, you know what, there's more for me. So I went to graduate school, and within the curriculum, there was a class on HR and healthcare. And I thought, wow, what is that? I really did not think of industries outside of my paradigm, which was clinical. I really thought HR was a department that delivered benefits and, you know, insurance. So the more I got more information about HR, that there's talent acquisition, talent management, rewards, pension, culture, all of that, I was like, how rewarding. So at that time, a fellow colleague of mine said, hey, there is this nurse recruiter role available at one of our entities. You know, would you like to give it a whirl? And I thought to myself, you know what? As a caregiver, I was taking care of patients one shift at a time. As a nurse recruiter, I could take care of the patients on a much broader scale and actually have the ability to influence how we bring in those that care for our patients. And, you know, obviously with nursing, I thought to myself, you know, bottom line, if I didn't like it, it's the beauty and the detriment of nursing. Obviously, I could go back to the bedside. But it's fascinating that 19 years has gone by and I am still as happy as the first day. My scope has expanded. I have a team of, you know, roughly 25 people. You know, sometimes it fluctuates one up, one down. I'm working with our presidents. I'm working with our chiefs. I'm working with all leaders beyond nursing. And recently now I'm working with the physician component. And I really, because of my background, they're interested in my perspective. They're interested in my thoughts. And from a credibility perspective, the team really likes that, you know, when we're assessing candidates, that it is not your basic bread and butter questions. It's really questions about your critical thinking, your advocacy. You know, to sustain someone else's life with your own is not an easy feat. And we take this incredibly seriously, that whomever comes through our doors is a reflection of us. So it's incredibly rewarding. You know, I will share that I had my own child within North Shore. And, you know, here I was in labor and everyone that was taking care of me was like, you hired me. And I'm like, that's right.
Oh, wow. That's surreal.
It's very surreal. And I will say that every time I do quite a bit of the executive recruitment as well. Every time I ask somebody why North Shore, that is the first thing they say. They talk about their experience. And it just makes me feel incredibly proud.
It must be, I mean, I'm starting, men don't usually cry, right? But that's pretty emotional even for me, because I recognize like how much time, energy, and effort has gone into helping the culture really define itself and the experiences that are provided. You know, the first touch says everything, right? But when it's prolonged and continued, as the candidate goes through their journey, becomes an employee, becomes a long-term employee, wins their five-year service award, mm-hmm. you know, it really makes that big of a big difference. So thank you for sharing that story. And certainly that's pretty eye-opening, right? So you're in labor and everyone's like, oh my God, you hired me. That's nice.
Absolutely.
Your husband must have probably been holding your hand like, oh my, what is happening? My wife is giving birth and you guys are all, you know, reminiscing about your own origin. That's funny.
That's funny. That is exactly what he said, Iqbal. Verbatim.
I thought so. Very funny. You know, and so you and I travel in very similar circles. And for the listening audience, you know, I'm a very transparent person. In full disclaimer, I work for a consulting company, and this is how I've met Enza. So I work for Lean Human Capital, which is part of Simpler. Enza is North Shore University is one of our clients, and that is where our connection was made. And the world that we live in, both of us, is talent acquisition. So healthcare recruitment is our life source. You know, it's our lifeblood. It's what we sleep on. It's what we drink. It's what we eat. That's what we breathe. So this is where, you know, our similarities are, and I love that. But, you know, we also see and talk to a lot of experts in the field that we are very familiar with together. We were just on a conference from our company called Basecamp, where we had some experts talk about their experiences and their wins and successes. You know, in your conversations with other senior directors, VPs, directors, and other experts in the space, you know, we see how talent acquisition has had to shift, adapt, backtrack, jump forward, and you know, in lots of different spaces over the last 24 months. And I'm pretty sure you'll agree that I don't see that sort of agility is going to be a lacking skill in the next 3 years. If not, it's going to double down, and we'll all need to be able to move forward fast, quickly, and fail forward in that space. But Enza, because where you sit today, it's a beautiful position, and you have the ability to see the future, especially with all the things that are happening in your organization and talking to peers. What are some changes that you see coming to healthcare talent acquisition based on conversations and experiences and just your own independent research, where you feel that talent acquisition leaders, as well as other organizational members, need to be aware of so that as we continue to, you know, strive in the direction of attracting top talent, developing, you know, the right quality people, like in order for companies to thrive, not just survive, we need to be doing this, or we should be prepared to be doing this in the next 2-3 years.
So that is a question that literally we probably have 5 meetings a week to discuss, because you're 100% correct. This is incredibly competitive, and there are so many opportunities people in healthcare can pursue that are traditional and non-traditional, such as yours and mine. So some things that we've recently have done is that the first year ever, we hosted an internship program for today's youth. We partnered with Evanston Township High School, and we want to expand that. But this year, we had the luxury of bringing 33 interns into North Shore, first time ever. And we were able to place them in the lab and the medical group and nursing and finance and HIT and marketing and HR. I will say this, you know, you watch TV, you read books, you absolutely know what the nurse and the doctor do, right? You think healthcare, you think nurse, doctor, doctor, nurse. People don't realize that we have a very, very robust health information technology department with cutting edge technology due to our electronic medical record. people have no idea that we have an award-winning marketing department. They have no idea that we have a finance department. So bringing these early careers in as students really exposes them to multiple facets of healthcare beyond the traditional patient direct care. The second item I think that we really had to pivot on is how we orient our new people. You know, these are people that have graduated during or right after the pandemic. Their clinicals looked very different than yours and mine. I remember spending hours and hours on the units taking care of patients hands-on. Now they use SimLabs, they used iHuman, very different, right? So what we traditionally used to do doesn't fly anymore. We have had to really build in much more support for our new graduates and also include items such as reflection, journaling, conflict resolution, diversity, inclusion, taking care of people that have very different beliefs than you do, especially with the inception of multiple vaccines that recently were launched. And we've had some good reviews. I mean, people are really embracing the extras that we've now added to traditional orientation. I would say the third thing that we've had to do, because honestly, experienced people are so hard to come by, is to open up very highly specialized areas to new grads. So for example, our oncology unit, our intensive care, our EDs, in the past, we ideally would have liked 1 to 2 years of experience. We're recognizing we're not going to get that, or we're going to keep waiting and waiting for something that may not come. So we've opened up our arms and embraced those that have the potential. We've opened it up to people that can be upskilled. We looked at people from different units and have said essentially, growth doesn't always mean up, it also means lattice, vertical, and horizontal. So those are some of the switches that we've had to do to really accommodate this new workforce.
That's pretty flexible. I like how you talked about being able to hire for what's called will over skill, right? Like when you look at an individual and you're like, well, you're not meeting our requirements today, but the reality of it is, that's a unicorn that may never be found for your organization or for your facility, or maybe not even in the country that's even available. So you leave the requisition open for 3, 4, 5 years while patients suffer? No, it's very proactive. Right?
And I like certainly not here.
Yeah, I would hope not. And I'm glad to hear that as well. I like that a lot. And I think that that's probably a good template for other listeners today to recognize, especially the healthcare professionals that are looking to perhaps pivot into a different area of healthcare. Maybe they are a pharmacist, a respiratory therapist that's looking to say, well, what else can I do with my degree? You know, kind of giving them a little bit of hope to recognize that maybe I don't need to have that experience today, but here's an organization that's willing to invest in me and help me transition towards that, especially internals as well. So I think that that's really great. You know, Enzo, one of the things that you also mentioned earlier was, having these internship programs where you're giving young future professionals and young future employees exposure. Right. And a lot of that is things that, it's been a struggle, especially with the pandemic. Right. Everybody kind of went into this massive lockdown mode. And you mentioned SimLabs, which is very common nowadays. And there's both good and bad in that. But, when you think about that, like early career professionals today are still trying to figure out like exactly, what they can do to position themselves well as they approach graduation. And so, you and I have had clinical experiences, we've had executive and management experiences. What do you tell somebody who's possibly at that early stage of their career when they're thinking, okay, I've got this curriculum, I'm doing all these rotations, I'm learning and networking as much as I can with the limited number of people I know. How do you guide them towards success at the stage where they are now?
So I often wish I could turn back the clock, because this is the advice I would give. There's the theory, right? There are many people that are coming out, they've read all these books, they've joined journal clubs, they've gotten their certifications, but the piece that they're missing is the application, the ability to communicate effectively, the ability to handle multiple priorities. What I would highly recommend to an individual that's an early careerist, and I understand that academics are incredibly rigorous and demanding, but you need the work experience. You need to be able to build relationships. You need to be able to interact effectively. And that usually comes with some sort of job. And it's okay if it's not in healthcare. You know, we see many, many times, many early careerists that were camp counselors, that were lifeguards, that were nannies, that were house managers. That is wonderful. Anything that conveys that you had some sort of responsibility and the results of that responsibility. You know, there are a few times where we'll ask questions about, tell me a time where you went above and beyond. The answer is, I always went above and beyond. That's wonderful. But what I'm really looking for is, give me the specifics. What exactly did you do? And, you know, with an actual job or work experience, one has the ability to do that, in contrast to solely something that you read in a book or a journal article. So that is the advice that I would give. But it is a balancing act. And this is why I love how flexible we are. I mean, honestly, SSTs, PCT, farm techs, lab assistants, you literally can work 8 hours every 2 weeks and you're working and you're adding value, mm-hmm. not only to our organization, but in my opinion, to yourself.
I think that that's a great call out because you were very specific with that, right? So if you are a student that's currently enrolled in a professional program and you are telling yourself, I just don't have the bandwidth, I don't have the time, I'm too busy. If you cannot find, what did you say, 8 hours?
8 hours in 2 weeks.
8 hours in 2 weeks, right? Like that's 2 hours, 2 days a week. That will get you to that point, right? And I think that that's really important to recognize that you can learn and read and absorb as much as you can through digital media or, you know, traditional media, books and all that, but you don't have the environment to apply it. And that theory mm-hmm. versus practice makes a big, big difference.
Huge difference. And it's something, you know, if I would have known better, I would have done that myself. I, of course, you know, worked throughout college, but not in a related field. So, you know, I have a young daughter and she knows as soon as she's of working age, she's coming over.
Mom's got a spot for you, honey. You're going to work here.
I don't exactly. want to.
That was not exactly. the question. You're going to work here. I love it. We'll be right back after this short break. And so your career journey has really been pretty remarkable, right? You mentioned earlier that you really just started out unsure of what you wanted to do and what you wanted to be. You attended this career fair where, you know, this holy grail nurse showed up and talked to you about nursing. And that's really where your journey began. And you've done so amazingly well. You know, as you pointed out, you started off as a staff nurse at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. And then you found your calling in talent acquisition and you've spent, you know, quite I'll just say it, almost 2 decades with North Shore University Health System. Like that is it's a diamond type of journey. Most people do not stay with the same organization for that long. Most people do not find different roles within the organization. They try something new and they leave. But you've been in this role and because there are things that have attracted you to the role, but more importantly, there are things that have kept you in the role. So of course, recruitment and on the other side, retention. I'd like to learn a little bit more about what your thought process was like when you moved and when you accepted the role that you currently have today, right? You were leaving the world of being a director of nurse recruitment, and suddenly you were given the opportunity to manage talent acquisition across a swath of different areas, right? Like that's leaving a pond that you're familiar with and being thrown into a lake or an ocean. And I'd like to know, like, you know, for some people, they may just see this as a natural progression in one's career, but other people may need to take some time and reflect, as you pointed out, what you ask your interns to do, to consider all of the pros and cons. Were there any cons in your decision-making that you had to weigh against the pros? Were there people that you talked to get a third-party person's perspective on what you might want to do? Love to understand a little bit about how you made this decision and was it a good one for you?
So yes, it was a great one for me. But B, no, there was no pause or hesitation. When you work for a quality organization with quality people, to me, it's a complete no-brainer. You know, I had built this wonderful team in nurse recruitment. I mean, I myself am a nurse, as I shared previously. So I pretty much know quite a bit about that particular field. I knew about the therapies, the lab, radiology, more on a peripheral level. But I thought to myself, you know, once you've done nursing, you really could do anything else. So it was a new challenge for me working with those leaders more intimately, actually having the ability to bring some of the programs that we utilize in nursing to those areas as well. I'll just give you a quick story about the lab. You know, in my opinion, the lab is like the unsung hero, right? A lot of us cannot do our job without getting the pathology, the chemistries back. But they're so behind the scenes, right? So last summer, not this summer, we actually did a small pilot where we took two students from Evanston Township High School and we hired them as resource lab assistants. Hmm. They essentially were looking at specimens under microscopes, centrifuging. At the end of their experience, we ended up hiring them as resource employees. They're still here today. And I'll never forget the look on their faces. They're like, "We had no idea this existed." I'm like, "Of course you didn't. And this is why I purposely did this experiment with that area." But it's a partnership, right? I knew to have this be successful, I had to have the department on board. You know, the workforce of today is very different than it was yesterday. Our employees want to be engaged. They want to be stimulated. They want to be included. They want to have a variety of experiences. So knowing the people that work in the lab, I knew they were up for it. And so they really made it an amazing, worthwhile adventure for them. And it yielded very positive results that in the future, most likely we will have two lab professionals.
That's great. And thank you for that story. I think that a lot of times when we hear a specific example of where an individual's life took a different direction because of an intervention, that mm-hmm. really means a lot. And I'm just going to take a sidestep here for a moment. Most people don't know this. I actually worked 2 years in a laboratory while I was in college, right? And you are 100% correct. Like, it is the unsung hero of healthcare. It is like the bedrock of what we do. Because what am I supposed to prescribe or what am I supposed to dispense as a pharmacist if I don't know, you know, what's wrong and what to watch out for and how to adjust dosing, right? What is a medical doctor or a doctor of osteopathy supposed to diagnose and recognize as, oh, you know what, you have this highly elevated LFT. You know, we need to be very careful about what's going on. Tell me about your symptoms, right? Like, you need that. And most of the time, mm-hmm. as you pointed out earlier, right? When you think of healthcare, the first two and only two usually professions that come to mind are doctor and nurse. That's it. But so it's a great, great example of where value can be added by giving exposure to a very hungry audience of people who want to help but just don't know how. So I appreciate that as well.
And it's interesting, like if I would have asked these people, where do you want to go? I guarantee you they would not have said the lab. So sometimes you just have to take the bull by the horns and make the suggestion and tell them that, you know, please trust us. We know you'll have a great experience.
I love that. And so, I mean, it sounds like you were actually, did you know these two individuals prior to creating the program or was that just?
No, I had partnered once again with the high school and with the lab, kind of shared the vision, what I thought would work, and, you know, obviously needed guidance from the school as to like, this is the environment, who do you think would be best? And they did actually provide the students. But fortunately, you know, we're all about relationships and partnerships here. You know, obviously the lab had a say into, you know, yes or no, but
yeah,
absolutely.
Makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. And so along our journey, right, we've had individuals that have really helped us along the way, right? You and I are, no one is successful by themselves. Nobody reads everything and knows how to apply it. Nobody knows how to apply and get the job right away. Like, they need some guidance and support. And sometimes those people come in the form of mentors or sponsors or just a leader that sees you and says, wow, I just saw you do that. You have the potential and I want to cultivate that. I would love for you to be able to have an opportunity on this show to maybe thank an individual or two that you sort of owe your career success to. Somebody that maybe at an early stage, mid stage, or even very recently, you feel has been a partner with you along the way to help you achieve that success that you've been able to achieve thus far. Who would you like to thank and why?
So I work with amazing people. So I was thinking about this and I think I'm going to choose somebody that is no longer here. Somebody that recently retired. His name is Bill Lures. He was our CHRO for probably almost 25 years and recently retired. He was the consummate professional. He obviously had a very, very high responsibility role, but it was not uncommon for him to stop into our entities. How are you? Remember a fun fact about you, ask you about your kids, you know, send you a card if a loved one died. That's the type of professional that he was. He was somebody that seriously everybody at the organization sought counsel from. I mean, I just had never seen something like this before. And he had certain euphemisms, like, for example, he would say things such as, does it pass the red face test? I'm like, that is really thought provoking. Because it's really true, you know, if challenged, can you pass the red face test? Because in this environment, you know, when you have thousands of employees, what you do for one, typically you must do for another. So those characteristics, I would watch, I would observe, I would take notes, and often thought about, you know, as my career progresses, I definitely want to utilize some of those attributes. Another item that he would always talk about is listening for understanding. You know, as human beings, we're always in a hurry. People are talking to us and we're already formulating our answer. This is probably why his meetings were very long, but he would truly listen to you and many times repeat back what you said to ensure that he fully understood what you were saying.
That's a lost art nowadays.
Dying phenomenon, Iqbal. Dying phenomenon. It really is. And so I really try when I'm meeting with my staff or with candidates to really be present and listen to what they're saying. And oftentimes people will say to me, how do you remember that? And it's honestly because I'm being incredibly intentional. Not always easy, but always trying to be intentional.
Yeah. Mindfulness is again, it's so difficult to master. It's difficult to even practice for a lot of us, including myself. I can be in a conversation and I can already be thinking four steps ahead, right? Like, I'm meeting with Enza today, but after Enza, I've got another client and a third client, and these are the deliverables. And that's where we just tend to lose that connection that's being built. But more so importantly, like even if you strip aside the professional commonalities, it's the personal aspects that really cement, you know, future transactions and future relationships. And I'm glad that you called that out. I really appreciate that. And I hope, is Bill still with us? I should start.
My God, absolutely. And thriving.
Okay.
We recently saw him at an event and I'm like, obviously retirement is doing you well. But yes, he is still definitely around the neighborhood and very active in the community. Absolutely.
Well, I hope he's listening and I hope he recognizes the impact that he's had on you. And I'm sure thousands of other people at North Shore University Health System. And Bill, kudos to you for what it's worth as a host of a podcast. I appreciate what you've done for Enza and for many others. Enza, talk to me a little bit about what's next on your professional to-do list, right? Like you've done so many great things. You're already involved in a variety of initiatives. You see the future of healthcare talent acquisition, and you're pretty instrumental in making sure that things progress well for you, your team, and the organization. But maybe 12, 18, 24 months down the road, is there something that you've said, I really want to do this? I want to be able to say that by the time 2024 starts, I'm doing this or I've already achieved this, right? And again, it can be internal. Nobody has to necessarily leave the home that they've developed and built the world that you have, right? But what would you like to say has been something that's a goal that you want to make sure doesn't fall off the radar and that maybe you can achieve in the next 18 months or so?
So one thing I really have been thinking about is possibly pursuing an advanced degree beyond my current degree. You know, I do have my bachelor's and my master's in nursing, but healthcare is such a dynamic field. I mean, there are so many changes. There are so many new studies, new literature. In particular, now they are studying the workforce in a way we never used to do before. So someday I really do want to go back for probably my doctorate in nursing, just because every time I've gotten another degree, I use those learnings in my work life. So it not only stimulates me, you know, personally, but also professionally. But I love to see progress. You know, I always say that we have round wheels because somebody decided that we're not going to get very far with square wheels, right? So, I mean, the more we know, the better we do, right? And I'm a huge proponent of that. So.
No, that's great. You know, I've been on the fence for a while about my own professional advancements from an educational standpoint. I think I've ruled out degrees, but I've got like a list of 50 different certifications because I'm just so fascinated with the subjects, right? So becoming, you know, learning how to code or learning some computer programming languages is still high up there. But strategic workforce planning is also high up there. I probably just need to sit back and choose one and commit. But let me know and let us know what you choose to do, because I think it will be a good inspirational story for us to come back and circle back on. It says, you know, education is not, you know, finite. You don't just get to a point and say, oh, I know it all now. I'm done. This is great. I'm just going to end it here. Like, there's so much that's changing, and that the satiety that exists for more, better knowledge should never just be like, you know, quelched. So I love that. And I want you to continue that as well. And I certainly hope to hear what you choose to do in the next few months.
So it's interesting. I recently hired a new grad that was in her early 60s, and nursing was her fifth career. Her careers range anywhere from owning a bed and breakfast, being a radiology tech, a stay-at-home mom. And finally, she said, I had always, always wanted to be a nurse. She had taken care of everybody else, and now it was her turn. And I really applauded her for that.
I mean, she must have so many fascinating stories. I think if you could just grab her for like a day, she would just regale you with all of the things that she has seen and done. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another reason why I love the talent space is the people, right? I'm a people person. I get my energy from people. I'm naturally curious. I mean, sometimes people are almost suspect. They're like, why are you so interested? I'm like, really benign. I just really just want to know about you. And my whole team, you know, I have 23, 24 people on my team, as I shared earlier, they're all so different. I have an average of 10 years. Wow. They speak six different languages, representing seven different countries.
Nice.
Right. I have people that came from industry, people that I promoted from within, people that are clinicians, you name it. I have it. I'm really open-minded when it comes to selecting talent. I'm just a big proponent of, you know, are you teachable? The agility dance, as you mentioned before, can you do it? Because in healthcare, you need to do it and you need to do it well. Are you resilient? I mean, you're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days. You're going to have days where your plan is completely thwarted and you're going to have to go to plan B. And not everybody can handle that. And so those are the things I look for. I mean, our field is so dynamic and, you know, it's not for everybody. So I'm very cognizant of that. So
you've just listed two of the three traits, you know, that you would probably look for in an individual if you wanted to bring them onto your team, mm-hmm. or if you wanted to help somebody promote to the next level, like, yeah, you know, you're ready. What would be a third quality, right? You've talked about the ability to do it. You've talked about, you know, certainly a variety of things. What's that number three? Because I think the listeners would be, you know, those that take notes, and I do know that there are some of you that do that. Like you literally start to apply some of these things. So what's your three?
I would say the third one is the ability to think critically, very critically. People are incredibly complicated now. A doesn't always lead to B, right? Sometimes A goes to C and then goes back to B. That's why navigation has become so popular in healthcare. because it is just a kaleidoscope, right? So I really need somebody that, you know, if you're looking at something or you're listening to breath sounds or you're listening to bell sounds and something doesn't sound right or look right, what's your next step? Because your action is going to have long-term effects. I really need someone that understands to not only accept the status quo. You know, everybody is learning, right? You know, you get something, you get an order, it doesn't look 100% correct. You know, they might order a medication that you know contradicts a predisposition. What are you going to do?
Right.
Are you going to call and say, hey, did you realize that person has type 2 diabetes? We probably don't want to give them that. Or are you just going to deliver it? Because, you know, I think about myself. I think about my family. I think about the patients. The expectation is when they come, they're going to leave in a much better state than they arrived, right? Yes. And so, you know, I want to give a voice to those that cannot always advocate for themselves. I'm very passionate about this. You know, my parents came from a different country. English is not their first language. You know, unfortunately, sometimes you cannot advocate for yourself. So it's very important to me.
I'm so glad that you shared that, Enza. And I think that that's really, sometimes, you know, people forget that, right? Like they're trained to be able to discern, you know, something that's off, right? Like here's what the standards look like and here's pathophysiology and here's what's wrong, right? But I think sometimes people just want to barrel through as if everything is a checklist. And in healthcare, you can't do that. I mean, at the end of the day, some patient's life is in your hands and you really need to be able to do that, right? Whether you're in health information technology, whether you're in environmental foods or environmental services, nutrition, pharmacy, laboratory, like at some point, if you bypass an opportunity to catch a mistake, that has long-term ramifications. And same thing in talent acquisition, right? Like if you can't have a recruiter, a sourcer, a coordinator that stops and says, this seems very odd. This is not standard protocol and something's wrong, and question and call out hiring managers, call out executives, call, even reach out to their manager or peers and says like, does this look right to you? That's the opportunity that I'm glad that you said something about. And I'm glad that, you know, it's the things that you would want to see. And so as a leader of a team of 25 plus, right, you also have the dubious responsibility of nurturing their mindset and helping them grow in the space that they're in for either better performance or for future opportunities. And just like you and I, we are both also on a leadership development journey. We're always reading, learning, watching, and absorbing new information from new people with great ideas. What's either on your phone now that you are watching and reading, or maybe it's a book that's on your nightstand that you have fallen in love with or are falling in love with and are sharing it with others to help them along their leadership journey?
So I will say right before COVID, and one of the ways North Shore invests in their people is that we had a professional organization come and provide in services or continuing education about public speaking. You know, they say it's the greatest fear of many people. I can completely understand that. It was an amazing session. And of course, they had a book. Who doesn't have a book, right? And the book is actually called The Bullseye Principle. And it is really about intentional communication. And, you know, sometimes I think people take communication for granted, but truly nothing can move forward without the ability to communicate with one another. So the reason why I really love this book is it's full of practical tips and stories as to how to communicate and communicate effectively and appropriately. Because we all know, depending on whom you're speaking to, communication may look and feel differently. So, you know, probably not on the New York Times bestseller list, but a book I highly recommend that people read. It really goes back to the basics, you know, how to captivate an audience, how to communicate with purpose, how to be intentional, how to make eye contact, body language, all of that. So it's something that I do have at my bedside. It's a quick read. You know, sometimes I'll read a chapter every once in a while just to refresh my memory. Or like, you know, sometimes I'll read it right before something like this, just to, you know, brush up on my skills.
And so who's the author of the book?
You know, it is Wiley. I can't remember the first name exactly, but
is it Blanchard?
Google, no, okay. But if you Google the Bullseye The bullseye principle, it'll pop right up. And I thought to myself, you're probably going to ask me. I should have wrote it down.
It's okay. That's absolutely fine. And so you've shared so much, and I'm really grateful that you are on the show, because I think that you bring a different perspective than previous guests. When listeners today are trying to gather this type of insights and intelligence to help them understand a little bit more about what they can do to help advance their career, you know, I always ask my guests, you know, the way that I ask my guests to answer this is, if you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, right? The 20-year-old, the 18-year-old Enza that was unsure about what she wanted to do and how she was going to do it. If you could go back to her and say, you know, Enza, you're going to be fine. Don't worry. I just need you to make sure that you either start or keep doing this one thing. What would that be?
I would say this. Do what you say you're going to do. I think write it down and really do it. I mean, I think so many times people start something, they say they're going to do it, they don't do it, they don't follow through. If you make a commitment to yourself, to your employer, do it. I mean, it just is so telling of one's character and integrity. Even if there's nothing new to share, circle back and communicate. So that's what I would tell my younger self. Write it down, get a plan in place, baby steps, and do it. There really, you know, in my opinion, as I've gotten older, really there's nothing unattainable if you really want it. And nowadays, the resources are immense. You know, if my younger self had the capacity or if LinkedIn existed at that time, another suggestion I would make is reach out to people that have the role that you have. Yeah. You would be shocked how many people want to share their pearls of wisdom. It's a much more open and transparent society nowadays. And so go ahead, friend the CEO, friend the CFO. You never know. The worst thing they could say is no, right?
I think that that's such a big miss, and I'm glad that you pointed that out too. But, you know, even just beyond that, the integrity that you mentioned as, you know, a core pillar, a core foundation of who you're going to be seen as and who you are, that speaks volumes, right? At the end of the day, all you have is your word. If you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, the ability to be trusted or the capacity of trust or build trust, it's gone. So I love how you call that out. And so you've been a remarkable guest. I so appreciate you being on the show and for sharing all of your insights and letting us learn a little bit more about you, your department, and your organization. I'm looking forward to speaking with you again, I think in a week on our regularly scheduled biweekly call. But beyond that, I do want you to feel free to reach out to me. And certainly I want to keep up with you in terms of your advancements. And as always, I'm wishing you much success, and I'm looking forward to seeing you continue to take healthcare to a higher level.
Thank you, Iqbal. You know, I'm going to be really honest. When you asked me, I was fearful, but I am so happy I did it. Thank you again.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Healthcare and Hire podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to follow and subscribe for more. I'm your host, Iqbal Acha, and I invite you to connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Let me know what you thought about this episode or my show in general. Also, visit me at www.achainternational.com to learn more about how I help healthcare professionals and healthcare leaders advance their career, build a better brand, and create a leadership legacy. I'll be back next week with another episode. But until then, let's keep working to take healthcare to a higher level.